And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus really offers a great challenge to us, challenging message. It's a story about a servant who owed his king an enormous debt. The man was brought before the king, and it was calculated that he owed him 10,000 talents. Now, that really doesn't mean a whole lot to us. I mean, the number 10,000 is rather large, of course. But when we begin to understand what a talent was, then perhaps this will resonate a bit more. Most of the people in Jesus' audience that day, the people who were following him and listening to him, had never seen a talent. It was an enormous sum of money. One talent was equivalent to approximately 15 years of wages for the average man. It's a large sum. But remember, this man owed 10,000 talents. So a little bit of quick math will tell you that at this rate, it would have taken the man 150,000 years to pay off his debt if he were a common man. Or if you figured another way, it would take him 50 good years of working in one life to pay off, or if it would take him 50 years to pay off, it would take him 3,000 lifetimes to pay off this debt. That's the enormity of this amount. The point of all this is to show that the man had an enormous debt, a vast debt, that there's no way that he could repay it. When he was brought before the king, it was determined that he was unable to pay the debt. The king ordered the man, his wife, and his kids to be sold into slavery to repay the debt. But the man fell on his knees and pleaded for mercy, promised, in fact, to repay everything, which, like I said, would be impossible. In a shocking twist, the king was moved with compassion and had mercy on the man and canceled his debt and sent him on his way. What kind of king would do such a thing? To have that kind of mercy on someone who owed him so much. But he just pronounced the debt forgiven, and the man was allowed to go home and go to his family. Now, given this drastic turn of events, we would expect that in the next scene of the story, we'd see the man skipping down the road, clicking his heels, reveling in the fact that he had been released from such an enormous debt. But unfortunately, that's not what happens. In the next scene of the parable, that same servant, it almost sounds as if he goes out and does this, so close together. He went out and found one of his servants, Jesus said, who owed him 100 pence, or 100 denarii is the technical word here. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." Now, note the change in the measurement of money here, because as we talked about, a talent being a large amount of money, a denarius, a pence, was not a large amount of money. In fact, it was what the average person was paid for a day's wage. Most of the people in Jesus' crowd had held a denarius pretty much every day. So by our calculations, this man owed about 100 days' wages. He could have paid it off in less than a year, of course. This is pocket change compared to what the other man owed. His fellow servant begged the man to be patient with him and he would pay back what he owed. In fact, he uses the same exact words that this man had just used before the king. But unlike the king, he failed to show mercy. He had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. Those who were familiar with the situation were greatly distressed. They couldn't believe that after this man had been forgiven such an enormous debt that he would be unwilling to forgive his fellow servant such a minor debt. And so they went and reported this to the king. And as you can imagine, the king wasn't happy. So he called the man in, and he said, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" Then the king handed the man over to the torturers until he paid all that he owed him. In the realm of money, this, of course, is a remarkable story. But we know from the context that Jesus is only using money as an image. What he's really talking about is sin. That is, here sin is envisioned as a debt. The king here in the story is an image of God. And Jesus intends for us to see ourselves in the place of this man who owed this enormous, unpayable debt. Now, you may be offended by that. You may be thinking, "I don't owe any kind of debt like that." Well, once again, we're talking about sins here. So if we were to go back over your entire life and calculate every time that you broke one of God's commandments, every lie, every harsh word, every moment of rage and hatred, especially on the roads out here in Texas, every act of disobedience toward your parents or teachers, every act of rebellion against the traffic laws, what kind of debt do you think you have accumulated over your lifetime? I dare say we might not want to linger here too long. It may be more staggering than we think. Jesus wants us to see ourselves in this man who owed this enormous debt, because that is who we are before God. We have accumulated a debt of sins that we could never repay, never atone for. But remember in the story that this man came before this king and pleaded for mercy, and the king forgave him. And Jesus wants us to think of God in that way. That's who God is. For those who will come before him in repentance, pleading for mercy and compassion, he grants it. He forgives our debts. That's what God is like toward repentant sinners. But the second scene in the story serves as a warning to those of us who have received God's mercy. The message is as simple as this: those who are forgiven must be willing to forgive those who sin against them. In fact, in comparison to the debt which we have accumulated against God, most of our family members, friends, neighbors, and coworkers really owe us a minor debt. Maybe they said something derogatory about us. Maybe they borrowed something from us and never brought it back. Maybe their dog got into our flower bed and messed it up, and they didn't apologize or make amends for it. We could think of a thousand other things that others have done to us. But all too often, we're in danger of acting like this man. We come to church and we ask God to forgive us for our many offenses, and yet we are unwilling to forgive others for the minor offenses they commit against us. And Jesus is telling us that's unacceptable. To quote another of his famous lines, "To whom much is given, much is required." If we ask God to forgive us many debts, we must be prepared to forgive the few debts that others owe to us. Now, lest you think this is a minor thing, I would remind you that in the same gospel, the Gospel of Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches us to pray daily, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Or as we know in those ecumenical settings when we're saying the Lord's Prayer with a whole bunch of other people from other churches, "We forgive us our," you know, we pause because we know it can be translated, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Notice that idea of trespasses and debts. associated with one another. The fact that Jesus teaches us to pray this is a subtle reminder of the truth that we have come against in this parable today. In this petition from the Lord's Prayer, we ask God to forgive us in the same way that we forgive others. We ask God to be as merciful as we are. If we boil all this down, we're taught that we're supposed to reflect God in this world. We are created in His image, and we're being reestablished and reformed in His image. One of the ways that we reflect God in this world is by forgiving as He forgives. St. Paul tells us in another context, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Those who would seek forgiveness from God for their many offenses can expect His merciful response when we come in sincere repentance. But out of gratitude for the forgiveness that we receive, we must then go out and extend that same forgiveness to those who offend us. May God help us to do just that. Amen. Now let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how He said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."